God bless you this morning, beloved. Praise the living God. I come today with a broken spirit and a contrite heart by the grace of God. Amen. I can't get myself there, but the Lord has ways of allowing us to get to places where we can truly hear, we can truly see what He's saying, and what we can believe, and where we can believe what He has said. And so I was meditating this morning, thinking about the things I've been seeing lately that have just really humiliated me and shown me things God was doing in the past that I thought was something altogether different. He reminded me of this verse that I keep thinking about over the last few years, and it's been God trying to talk to me. Jesus told his disciples when he was leaving, after being with them in person for over 3 years, he said, "Beloved, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot handle them yet." He said, "But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to comfort you." And when he talks about the Comforter, he's going to lead you into all the truth. There's no doubt that the Holy Spirit's going to patiently do that. Jesus did the same thing, even though the flesh is enmity against God. All of our lives are the enemy of God. Our self-centered, self-focused, self-advancing lives, they're the opposite of all life that's in heaven. And Jesus came down here and loved his enemies, just as he told us to do. But we didn't realize even his own disciples, in the natural, they were his enemies. They had to be regenerated. They had to reject their own lives. They weren't good. They weren't righteous. And it was a difficult thing for them to find that out, especially for Peter, who was so brash and so bold, and who said, if everybody else walks away, I won't. And then, of course, he denied Christ. And when Jesus is restoring him, the English translation is horrible, because Jesus comes up and he says, "Peter, do you agape me?" That word agape is true love. It's a godly love. It's a selfless love. It's the love of God, pure and perfect. And when he says, "Peter, do you agape me?" Peter looks at him and he says, "Lord, I phileo you." He could not say, "I agape you." Let me back up. Jesus didn't say, "Peter, just Peter, do you agape me?" He said, "Peter, do you agape me more than all of these?" You got to remember, at the Lord's Supper, Peter was saying, "If every one of these abandon you, I won't." And Peter did, and denied Christ 3 times. Now Jesus is confronting Peter's confidence in himself, because God allowed Satan to sift Peter like wheat, to destroy Peter's self-confidence and self-preservation. And when Peter saw what he really was, and then Jesus came and said, "Okay, now Peter, can you say you love me more than all of these?" Peter hung his head because he couldn't. He said, "Lord, I have affection for you." He was no longer declaring, "I love you, I agape you more than any of these. If everybody else walks away, I won't." Peter found out the hard way what his life really is and was. And he found out why he had to hate his own life, why he had to deny himself and take up his cross and follow Jesus. He found that out. And even after all those 3 years that Jesus was with them, he said, "There's many things I want to tell you, but you can't handle them yet. But the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, he's going to come. He's going to comfort you. He's going to lead you into all the truth. He's going to take what belongs to me, and he's going to make it known to you." And just over the last few days in prayer and study, and the Lord was reminding me at the end of 2016, he began to deal with me. There was all kind of compromise that had crept into my life, but I was ignoring it, trusting God will help me. God will, you know, get me to a point where I'm doing better. And he came to me at the end of 2016 and he told me to lay down the staff to stop pastoring. And I really struggled with that decision. And I heard the Spirit of God tell me he was calling me to apostolic ministry. So I got excited. And that's the only reason I laid down the staff. That's the only reason I stopped pastoring, because I thought this is a promotion. Here I was watching all kind of filth on the TV, all kind of compromise in my life, lust. I wasn't, looking at pornography regularly or anything like that, but the temptation was there, and every now and then, I would look at something quickly because I thought, just get it over with, look at something real fast and then turn away from it. Or I'd watch a movie with some, sex in it, and my natural man, of course, would enjoy that. And all those compromises had crept in, and I didn't think that could be the reason that he told me to lay down the staff. And then he told me to get off Facebook, and he told me to get off of YouTube, and I thought, I know. I didn't think, I know the Spirit showed me that those are going to be used by the Antichrist. They're the world's platform, and that Satan will not allow me to share the true gospel on his platform. He's not going to do it. And I that was confirmed several years later with all the what's it called, the word where they're filtering everything and only putting on there what they want you to see. But what I didn't realize is I was trying to share the true gospel in many ways. I was talking about the true message of the cross, but then I was also doing things that weren't coming from the Spirit. And I don't want to get real deep into it, but I was defending America, my patriotism, and I believed my country is good, and I wanted us to be first, and I wanted us to be prosperous and successful. And I declared that, I used to preach a lot about America and our founding fathers, and I would quote anything they said that had God in it, ignoring the real truth of their lives, that they were deist. They weren't born again people that were talking about the cross or that were talking about giving up our own life or hating it. No. As a matter of fact, they put in our Constitution that every man has a right to pursue happiness. Oh my goodness. If you really understand the scriptures, that is totally against everything that God says and teaches. That no true Christian, no born again person who understands what it means to take up your cross, to deny yourself, and to suffer with Christ and be rejected by the world, no person who truly believes in the message of the cross thinks that we all have a right to pursue happiness. That is not a Christian's pursuit. Our pursuit is the kingdom of God, even though it's going to cost us a tremendous amount. It's going to cost us everything. So God began to show me recently how some of the main reasons that he had me lay down the staff and get off of Facebook was not because he wanted to promote me. It's because I was walking in false understanding and teaching false things. And I was mixing them in with true things, but I was teaching false things because I really wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for what God really needed to show me. And when he did tell me to lay down the staff at the end of 2016, he began to show me things that devastated me. And I mean, I went into deep sin for several months, and by the grace of God, came out and went through several years of just horrible tests and trials and finding out what I really am and starting to really believe everything that Jesus said and starting to believe the Word of God more than I ever had. And I thought I did. I thought if anybody did, I did. I had no idea how proud I was. I had no idea. I thought I was super spiritual because I didn't know any other preachers that prayed as much as I did, except for one friend I have. I didn't know anybody that really sought God like that and spent their life like I did for so many years. And yet I had all that compromise and all that junk, and I was teaching false things and believing false things because I had a mixture and I didn't know it. And a couple things, I won't get deep into it because it won't make any sense. It wouldn't have made any sense to me. So I understand those that have turned me off, those that reject the things I'm saying now, because I would have done the same thing for sure. But a couple of the things God began to show me was how Satan told Jesus, the kingdoms of this world, all of them, friend, not some of them, all of them have been given to me, and I can give them to whoever I want to. Now, as a American Christian, I was always taught, and I believed that America was good and godly, and that Israel was good and godly, and that democracy and capitalism was good and godly. And I really did not believe what the Word of God said. If Israel is godly and God's the one in control of that, then when Jesus came, why didn't he fight against the Romans? He didn't. As a matter of fact, they were so shocked that Jesus didn't defend their country, that he didn't come and defeat the Romans for them and put them on the top. That's what they were expecting. That's what the Old Covenant told them. But they didn't understand the purpose of the Old Covenant, and neither do Christians. They don't understand the whole reason God told us to stop sinning, the whole reason he told us to obey his law, was to show us what we are, not so we could get into heaven by being good or by being spiritual. There's so much deception. The best preachers I know have deception. The best ones, there's deception there. They don't really see the fullness of the gospel. All of us, friend, are in the dark to some extent. The word even says every one of us will be asleep before the coming of the Lord, and there'll be a great awakening. So the Lord began to open my eyes to these things. Jesus didn't fight for Israel. As a matter of fact, he didn't meet any of their expectations for what they thought. They thought he's on our side. They thought he's going to defend our country. And he said, "Hey, my kingdom is not of this world." And then the Bible, after Jesus goes into heaven, I was also taught that Jesus took back what the devil stole from Adam. And now we have the world, and we have, oh my God, there's such a twist and a deception. Long after Jesus ascended into heaven, the New Testament teaches that Satan is the God of this world. That is very plain in the scriptures. And it is very plain what Satan told Jesus. And Jesus didn't say he was lying. He wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. He said, all the kingdoms of the world, all of them, not some of them, all of them have been given to me. And I can give them to who I want. And then Jesus really began to show me the gospel where he constantly preached, woe to the rich, for they've already received their reward. But those who are truly blessed in this world are the ones that are poor, the ones that are mourning, the ones that are oppressed. Why in the world? That doesn't even make any sense to the Jew who God said, if you'll obey me, I'll put you on the top. Because they see sick people and poor people and oppressed people as those who didn't obey God because they're on the bottom, because they think the old covenant was to get them to the top. But it wasn't. It was to show them that none of them are good and none of us can get to the top. And actually, the promise wasn't to us, it was to the seed. And if we're going to walk in the life of the seed, Jesus Christ, we've got to reject our own life. And when Jesus came preaching, he didn't say, if you follow me, I'll put you on the top. He said, if you follow me, you're going to get ostracized and cast outside the camp, and you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer, and you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. And oh my goodness, it's totally different. And Jesus comes preaching the opposite of what they expected. And when I first began to see it, I thought I understood it, and still I didn't really get it. But more and more and more, I believe the Word of God, and friend, it has totally messed me up, and shown me how deceived I was and how much I was in the dark in certain areas. I did have some things, of course, from God, no doubt. But much of what I had and much of what I was teaching and defending and standing for, I was part of the religious right. I was a Republican. I believed in my side. I wanted America first, and I wanted success and prosperity, and I wanted us to be on the top and to do well, and I believed we were godly, and I quoted the founding fathers. And I didn't understand what I was doing. I was trying to play both sides of the fence, so to speak. I wanted part of the world, and I loved the world, at least my part of the world. I loved my America, and I loved my Israel, and we were the godly nations, and the other nations were the ungodly nations. And it's just not the truth. And when I used to defend so much on Facebook. I would defend what we did to the Indians and why we participated in the transatlantic slave trade, human trafficking, and why we did what we did, and everybody did it, and we had our shortcomings, but our foundation was, and I was deceiving myself, and I didn't know what I was doing. And now I finally really understand my kingdom is not of this world, friend. And if anybody is on the top, according to Jesus, not according to Jeff, not according to the Baptist, not according to the Assemblies of God, if any nation is on top in this world, it's not because of God, not according to Jesus, not according to the truth of the scriptures. Now, I could not bear that. I couldn't handle that. As an American, as somebody who believed in my country, and we're good, we're better than other countries, though other countries call us the Great Satan, and Christians years ago called America Babylon. I mean, Babylon, because we've polluted the entire world with our entertainment. Our greed and our ambition has given us success as we've oppressed other nations and as we've taken advantage of different people. We've also done a lot of things that seem to be good in the past, but there's always man in it somewhere who's greedy and ambitious. And any person who gets to the top in this world, they don't do it through God. That's what Jesus showed. Now, if you look in the Old Covenant, you can pull scriptures out of the Old Covenant that says those who obey God and those who do good, God puts them on the top. But when you really begin to understand what Paul taught about the Old Covenant and why God put it in place, you start to see that the people that get to the top didn't get there because they were truly righteous, not in this world. God never intended to put some of us on the top in this world, the ones that were good. His intent to tell us, I'll put you on the top, was to bring us all under condemnation and show us that we are all sinners and there are none of us, not a single one of us, that does good. Not even one, friend. There's no nation that does good. You can forget it. It's just not true. Our kingdom is not of this world. And oh my goodness, how I would fight for my patriotism, how I would fight for what I believed. And I was doing it out of my own life, and I loved my life, and I didn't know it. I couldn't bear that. If God would have told me that 20 years ago, I would have quit. I probably would have just died. I couldn't bear it. It took God 20 something years to show me I didn't come to Him because I hated my life. You could have never convinced me any of this was true 20 years ago. I thought I did hate my life because I thought the life I was supposed to hate was my drinking, was my cussing, was my fornicating, whatever. I thought I hate my old life. I love my Christian life. But Jesus didn't tell the drunkard to hate his life. He told the Jews, he told the religious people who were memorizing scriptures, who were going to synagogue and paying their tithe and doing all the things they thought God wanted them to do, and they were very spiritual people. He said, if you don't hate your life, and then he says, woe to the rich, they've already received their reward. And the people that were successful were very discouraged by what he was saying. He's like, blessed are the poor, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. That didn't make any sense, The old covenant said if you're poor, it's because you didn't obey God. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. If you'll obey all that I say to do, God says, I'll make you the lender and not the borrower. Well, we find out in Galatians he wasn't talking to us as individuals. He was talking to Jesus Christ, and he did make Jesus the head. He did put him at the right hand, far above every power and every principality. But it doesn't have anything to do with this world. His kingdom is not of this world. Satan is the God of this world. Sure, God intervenes in certain things. But friend, what Jesus said is true. Everything he said is true. I think one of the most deceptive things that the devil has ever brought into the body of Christ is a modern teaching. It's not widespread, but it is intertwined throughout a lot of the body of Christ. It's just not very many people believe it because it's so outlandish. But it's actually being taught by modern day false teachers that supposedly represent grace, that all that Jesus said before he went to the cross doesn't apply to us. None of the stuff he said about hating your life, denying yourself, none of the things he said apply to us because it was before the cross. And so he was preaching the old covenant. Friend, that is possibly the biggest lie that's ever been told to get us to reject the words of Jesus Christ. And friend, some of that crept in. I never believed that. But some of that twist began to creep in, and some of those lies about grace. And the reason is because I wanted my life to be blessed, and I did not know it. I couldn't bear to understand that. And when God really began to show me what I am, oh my God, I went into the deepest darkness that I could ever imagine. I could ever imagine to find out that everything I do is tainted. Everything I do, the foundation of it, is because I want something for Jeff. And I didn't know it. I didn't know. And when Jesus really began to help me see what it means to be evil, and it's more and more and more, I began to understand why he told me to lay down the staff. And one of the most amazing things God has done, I went to a church about 2 years ago, and it was a prosperity church. I didn't know it. It was just a little church called Faith Church, and they were teaching prosperity, and the preacher was always reading books on how to become a millionaire, and then he went from how to become a millionaire to how to become a billionaire. And the foundation of the church and the message was it gets better from here, it gets better from here. God's going to make you rich. God's going to put you on the top. God's going to give you success. And I just knew something was wrong, but God brought me there for a reason. And I was sharing with the preacher this message of the cross as God was breaking me. I was patiently sharing with him. We'd go play tennis and different things. And he began to understand what I was saying. And he came to me one day, he said, man, I was sitting on my couch thinking about the things we've been talking about. And I realized I could go to hell. And I looked at him and I said, yes, you can. And so can I. If God doesn't open our eyes, if we don't believe the true message of the cross, we're going to burn. And man, it wasn't long after that he stopped listening to what I was saying, and his wife didn't want to hear it. It was too costly. They would lose their church. Their family, they didn't know how to explain to their family the message of the cross. What does it mean our life is bad and to hate our life? How do I tell my kid? It doesn't make any sense. And he made a decision to go, even though he knew what I was telling him was true, he made a decision to reject it very plainly. It was too costly. And so God told me to leave. And so I left about, I don't know, almost a year later, like 10, 11 months later, him and his wife split up. All the things he was saying, God, he stood for, how God's going to make your marriage right, and God's going to do this, it just collapsed. And then some of the people in the church who had heard the messages I was preaching, because he actually let me preach a few times in the church until it started causing conflict. Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know. Maybe he would have had me preach again. I don't know. But I don't think so. There was a clear line being drawn there. But some of the people in the church had really began to believe what Jesus had said in the Word, and they started seeing something was wrong. And they started to see something's wrong with this prosperity message, because it's not really what Jesus said. And so they called me when the pastor split up with his wife, and they said, "Brother, can you come and pastor us for a while?" And at first, because God told me to lay down the staff, I was extremely hesitant. I didn't want to do it, but I really felt the Holy Spirit tell me to do it. And we didn't know where we were going to meet. And unbelievably, the only place we could really find that was good for us was where I was pastoring in 2016, Milton Community Center, where I laid the staff down. And I did it right around the week of Thanksgiving in 2016. I told them at the end of December, we're going to close Freedom Church. And I realized the first day we met for this new church in Milton Community Center, it was on the same week that I had resigned in November of 2016. So that's 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. It was exactly 5 years where I had resigned. And I was standing there in the community center as we went there the first night, and I realized it before I preached that next day. We were Saturday night getting it ready, and I realized, oh my goodness, this is the week where God told me to lay down the staff. And this time, friend, I'm not preaching anything that Jeff wants. I'm not preaching success. I'm not preaching America's great. I'm not trying to defend. I'm not standing for Republicans or religious right. And there's a brokenness there. And I'm just preaching what Jesus said and what he says. And it's not popular. And I'm not expecting it to be popular. And I know I'm not perfect. And I know there's more things that God is going to show us. But what was so amazing to me is I had nothing to do with God putting me right back in the place where he told me to lay it down exactly 5 years later, with a totally different mindset, with a brokenness and a totally different message. Oh my goodness. Now, first, those who first hear what I'm saying, they all think it's crazy in the beginning. But those who are reading the word and seeking God, and they really, really want to know the truth, even if it hurts, if they listen for a while and they keep listening, they begin to see it and they begin to understand the true message of the cross. And it is mind-blowing to every one of them. They start to understand how deceived they've been, how much they love their own life and wanted God to bless it. And they didn't really understand how evil it is. And they didn't understand the message of the cross. Friend, preachers are exactly the same. There's not this super group of spiritual Christians that has this thing right, friend. The preachers are the ones that are the most deceived. Many preachers, the vast majority of them, they want success. They want their name to be good. They want to leave behind some kind of legacy. They want to build their ministry. My best friends are like that. They don't even know it. They can't see it. And I'm not better. I'm worse than they are. I know it. I'm worse than anybody. The more God shows me, the more I see how much of a mess, oh my God, that Jeff is. I've been a mess from the time I was born. When my mother left my father at 2 years old, I had anger. Oh my God, anger issues. I got kicked out of preschool, kicked out of elementary school, kicked out of high school. I got kicked out of everything. I was locked in detention 7 times, drug rehab 2 times. I was a disaster, and I say I was. I still am. Every moment without God, if I don't have the Lord, I get angry. I'm frustrated. I get easily rustled without the Holy Spirit helping me. I'm rude to my family. I mean, I'm not a good person at all. And I thought I was. And the more I tried to be good, the more I wasn't really. I thought I was being good, but I wasn't. I was harsh to my own family. Oh man, thank God for his mercy. But there's so many things that God wants to tell us that many of us, we just can't bear them. We can't handle them. And I'm asking God every day for the grace to just share what I hear him saying, no matter what it costs, because it's very costly and I haven't seen the fullness of it yet. I haven't seen the fullness of the cost yet. I've faced some. I've faced my own family not understanding me. I mean, it's taken a couple years for my wife to even start to believe what God has showed me And now she's like, I can't, every time I counsel somebody, it comes out and I don't even know where it's coming from. She said, it's weird and people are getting saved while she's counseling them. She's talking to them about the message of the cross and what our life is and why Jesus did what he did. And those things are coming out. She'll admit she doesn't have it all yet and she doesn't understand it fully. But it's starting to make sense. She's starting to understand the truth of the cross. And it has to take place slowly, because if God shows it to you all at once, it will destroy you. It happened to Elijah. Elijah's like, oh my goodness, I'm no better than my fathers. He all of a sudden saw what he really was after he defeated all the prophets of Baal. And then he's running from Jezebel and he sees he's no better. He actually recognized that his life wasn't any better than those he was preaching about. And he couldn't even eat, friend. He gave up completely and he would not live in this world. He couldn't live in his life anymore. He couldn't handle it. It was, if you really understand what happened, Isaiah, if you look at chapter 5 of Isaiah, woe to those people, woe to those people. He says it like 6 or 7 times, different groups of people. Woe to those who carry sin like a cart with a horse. Woe to those who get up early to get drunk. Woe to those. He says all of these people, all these sinners, woe to the sinner, woe to this person, woe to that person. And then Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And he said the place shook and quaked. And when he saw the Lord, he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. He realized he was the same thing that he was judging. He was the same thing that he was preaching against. And it shook him to the bones. And then God touches him with a coal and makes him clean. And God said, now who will go for me? And Isaiah said, I'll go, send me. I know what Isaiah expected. Isaiah expected to go share the truth with people. But you know what God told him? Go close their eyes and go close their ears so they can't see and they can't hear. Otherwise, they'd repent and I'd heal them. What? That doesn't even make any sense. Why would God say, go blind them? Go make them deaf so they can't repent. Well, he explained it. Isaiah said, what? How long? How long do you want me to blind them? How long do you want me to close their ears? How long do you want me to keep them from understanding the truth? And God said, until everything is laid bare in the land, and the only thing remaining is the holy seed. You see, God cannot really open our eyes to the truth until all that our flesh wants and all that we're living for that's not of him is crushed, is broken. And when everything is laid bare and the only thing remaining is the true seed, Jesus Christ, then we can finally see and we can finally hear. So, oh my goodness, to get to that place takes a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, a lot of difficulty, which is actually what the New Testament constantly teaches. We suffer many things. God is trying to open our eyes and bring true perseverance and show us the truth and help us to understand it. And so our flesh is broken down so that his strength can be made perfect and we can see the genuine truth. We can understand our life is evil. We can truly reject it. We can truly be broken and genuinely contrite because we understand the truth. I'm going to stop today, beloved, but I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit's patience will be with you today, and I know it will. If you are sincere and you really want God, it doesn't matter how right or how wrong you are, friend, I can assure you, we're all wrong. But we all have some things right. But if you really are sincere in your heart, in your spirit, if you really want God, you might be confused and mixed up and have all kinds of things that aren't from God. But if you will look to him, he will finish the work he's begun in you. And he will bring you to a place where you can genuinely bear the truth and you can handle it. And you can really see why your life had to die. And you can every day, you can deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. God bless you today in Jesus' name.